And follows on from where you started last week, thinking about sure and certain faith, as highlighted in this chapter and the following one of Hebrews. This chapter features the story of a number of people down through history whose faith was evident before God. And this morning we read of the story of Enoch. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. May God bless his word. In his book, God in the Wasteland, David Wells points out that if you go back through old newspapers and read obituaries from the 19th century, you will find that they nearly always focused on the character of the deceased person. You will rarely be able to discover from obituaries a person's occupation. It wasn't thought important enough to form a tribute at the end of their life. And if you consider obituaries now, you will find that the reverse is almost completely true. When I go to visit families at their evening times and take down something of the person's story to be able to speak about them, quite often at the end of my time with a family, I have a little section on a bit of paper that I use to make sure I cover everything, and the little word that is there says character. And quite often after an hour with a family, that still is empty. And so I'll say to a family, if you could choose just three words to describe the character of this person, what would they be? And you would be amazed that people sometimes struggle to find just three words. They struggle to find one word. They can tell me the life story, they can tell me the achievements, the occupation, but ask them to speak about character and they struggle. But in the Bible, character is valued above cleverness. Integrity is valued above achievement. Virtue is valued above talent. But higher even than these things that our generation has forgotten, higher than the life of talent or virtue, is the life of faith. Above everything else, what matters, biblically speaking, is faith. And so it is the people of faith that the writer of the Hebrews points when he's trying to find example and inspiration for us to keep going. The second person that he turns to in his description of people is this man Enoch, whose story takes just six verses to tell in the fifth chapter of Genesis. And if you read through those couple of chapters, 4 and 5, of that period of history, you would suspect that if Enoch's contemporaries had been asked to vote on one person of their generation or their century or maybe their millennium in terms of how the Bible dates things, most likely to be remembered by people in history, they probably would not have picked Enoch. In fact, they probably wouldn't have picked this Enoch if they were going to pick an Enoch. There's another Enoch mentioned in the chapter before, and he was so significant that a city that was built was named after him. It's not really a new thing in the 20th century, you see, to have international airports named after presidents or pop stars. They were building cities way back then in prehistory and naming them after people. Cain built a city and called it Enoch after his son. But that's not the Enoch that's remembered here in Hebrews. And those chapters in Genesis tell us about other interesting characters. Jabal, the patron saint of agriculture students. At least we're told he was the father of all those who live in tents and raise livestock. And I have to say, I know a few agriculture students who not only raise livestock but spent more of their time living in tents than living in permanent homes. Jubal, it tells us about in those chapters, the inspiration for all who play music, the father of all who play the harp and the flute. Tubal Cain, the role model of engineers. He forged all kinds of tools from bronze and iron, we're told. Genesis highlights all these people. They're significant in history for their abilities and their achievements, and their place in history is recorded. But the writer to the Hebrews, in thinking about that period, passes right over all these great achievers and talented people. And he picks out Enoch, or we might even say Enoch the Second, who was not a spectacular man, who was not a great achiever, who was not a notable icon for any craft or science or art. He probably wasn't even noticed by his generation until he had gone. But his unusual going, his unusual departure from this earth, signified his unusual life on this earth, and his lasting lesson for us that makes the writer pick him out of all the people in his generation. He walked with God. He pleased God. In the Old Testament, those two phrases mean the same thing. When the writer to the Hebrews says that he pleased God, he's simply quoting one particular version of the Old Testament that says he walked with God and he pleased God. God found pleasure in him, and so he accompanied him. He journeyed with him. He was one with him. One of the interesting things that I find going back to the Friends Reunited website from time to time to look up people I was at school with is particularly to look up those who always were in the school newsletter for high achievement, who in our school got their school colours more than once, who were appointed prefects and they were the people of great promise. And it's interesting to note how many of them now in life are notable failures. And that's something that those of us who have influence with teenagers and people who are particularly impressed by the kind of values that our world holds to, maybe want to hold on to. But those whom God notices and those whom God holds up for us, for our inspiration and example, are not those who are highest in their achievement or greatest in their skill, but as Enoch demonstrates, those who are closest to him, those who walk with him, those who please him. Our text this morning is this very simple one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I want to say three simple things about this. From this text, we realize that faith is essential. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's a very simple statement. It says an awful lot. It says, first of all, that it's possible to please God. It's possible for him to find pleasure in us. It's possible for him to delight in our company. And if that's possible, then we must also hold up the corollary of that, that it's possible for God to be displeased with us. If it's possible for him to be pleased with us, it must be possible for him to be displeased with us, for us to be objects of his displeasure. And however you think about that, that's a pretty dramatic thing to say. Now, we know the reality in life of people who please us and people who displease us. We got our children's report cards home this week from school. They were very good. We were pleased with us, with them. I don't know if they were pleased with us, but we were pleased with them. I can remember a few reports that came home for me from school that probably academically my parents were quite pleased with, but those bits at the bottom, teachers' comments, they weren't always pleased with. So there were people in my life this week I had reason to be really pleased with. There were people in my life this week I had reason to be really displeased with. I was through last night at the General Assembly. I'm a commissioner there this week. And I came home on a train reasonably, not too late. I was told that the half 11 would be full of lights, so I made sure I came out of the assembly early and got one. Nice quiet compartment until Linlithgow, when three drunk men got on and decided to flagrantly disobey all the signs and lit up cigarettes and drank and sang songs and whatever. I was displeased with them. So we know that feeling of being pleased with some and being displeased with others. And we know it in relation to our own lives. In our work, we maybe achieve our sales targets and our boss is pleased with us because of our achievements. In our family, your friends maybe speak to you of the good character of your children and you're pleased with them by their virtue. You play sport. You maybe get the commendation of your manager who says you've a good attitude and a good ability. He's pleased with you. But with God, there is only one essential ingredient if you would please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now that is at one and the same time a sobering truth and a wonderful possibility. Here's the sobering bit about it. I may have won the pleasure of my family. I may have won the pleasure of my friends. I may even have pleased myself. But without faith, it's impossible for me to please God. But here's the hopeful thing. I may go through life pleasing nobody. I may not have the ability or the achievements or the character to bring pleasure to anybody. And yet it is possible that God may be pleased with me. Faith is essential. Secondly, I want to say faith is specific. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It is, I suppose, in the early part of this century, more popular to have some sort of faith than it was in the 1980s and towards the end of the last century. Generally, it's quite fashionable to have a badge that says, I believe in something. Most people in the public eye now believe in something and they are happy to hold up the fact that they believe in something. But to our contemporaries, much that they believe in doesn't really matter. It's not what you believe, but how you believe. That's not what the Bible says. Let me suppose that at the end of this week, when I return from Edinburgh, I am greeted on the doorstep by my wife, as she always does, with a kiss and a hug, and with the words, I love you, and with the question, she does occasionally tell me I love her, yeah, it's okay. And with a question, do you love me? And I say to her, darling, I've realised this week it's not who I love, but how I love that matters. What do you think her response would be? I can tell you what it would be, but it might not be suitable for standing in a pulpit for me to say it. It's not who I love, but how I love that matters. It's ridiculous, isn't it? She would take a Saddam Hussein slipper and slap it round my face. So biblically speaking, and logically speaking, to say it's not who we believe in, but the fact that we believe that matters, just doesn't stand up. God-pleasing faith is faith that believes in this God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And when the Bible says that, it doesn't mean that we believe that God exists, but that this God exists, the God of the Bible, the God who's revealed in the stories of these people in Hebrews. The God is revealed in the history of the Bible. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists. And believing in the existence of this God means not just an intellectual assent into the fact that he's out there, but a commitment to his presence and his involvement in every part of life. It's to believe that this God, whom we thought of in 26 different ways this morning, the God who is almighty and blessed, the God who is creator and divine, the God who is eternal and Father, that this God exists. And if he is all these things, then he is for me, Father. And he is for me, near. And he is to me, forgiving. It's that belief in that God that the Bible commends and says it's impossible to please God without. Biblical faith is to recognize the God of the Bible and to respond to the God of the Bible. It's always rooted in God's revelation of himself, in his word, and in his Son. And that's what distinguishes biblical faith from much that passes for faith today, be it positive thinking or easy believism. It's responding to what God has said and done in his Son and in his Son's cross that matters. Recognizing his character and trusting him. And ultimately, it's responding to what he's done in his Son. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one we're to believe in. And it's only because Jesus pleased God that any of us can please God. It's only because God was pleased with him that he can be pleased with us. This is my beloved Son, said God. In him I am well pleased. And it's only because he was pleased with him that he can be pleased with us. So faith is that which takes us into Jesus. And that which says, I will be pleasing to God in him. He has revealed in Jesus the way I may please him. So I will be pleasing to God as I am in him, as I commit myself to him, as I trust in him. Faith is specific. Thirdly, faith is rewarded. Anyone who comes to God must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. We were at one of the Boys Brigade Parents Night this week. Ross is sitting over there. It was Ross's section, the junior section. Various awards were given out for various achievements. One of the awards that was given out was for the best squad. Those who've been there most often. Those who've participated in the best manner, I guess. Now, it wasn't said that night, but I'm pretty sure if you were to ask Ross today which squad enjoyed the BB most, which squad got the most out of the BB, it probably would have been the best squad. And their reward, in the best sense of the word, is not really the award they got on Wednesday night for being the best squad. Their reward, their real reward, is the enjoyment they got out of the BB all year. For coming with the right attitude and participating in the right spirit. And they probably went home from the BB each week enjoying. Or take a different illustration. Parent-child illustration again. Sometimes we're pleased when school reports come home, but those of us who are parents know that what pleases us most is not a school report. What pleases us most is that childlike trust in us as parents that cuddles up to us and loves us. You know, we have days when our children don't want anything to do with us. Some of us have more and more of those days. And then we have days when they say, you know, I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to be with anyone else. I just want to be with you. Because you're my dad. Or more often in our house, you're my mom. And when they come with that attitude, and when they're there with that attitude, you are able to parent them with the kind of love that brings quality to their life. And the reward for that kind of trust in you and response to you is the enjoyment of what you are able to give them as a parent. Now, faith's reward is similar. The reward of faith is not something different from the activity that qualifies us for that reward, but it's that same activity for faith. You see, when we exercise faith towards God, when we trust God, when we acknowledge God to be God in our lives, the reward of that is this: that God is able to be God in our lives. That God makes himself known to us in all his character in our lives. That we enjoy God more fully. That our capacity to enjoy God is enlarged. We have a greater appreciation of him. That's what happened to Enoch. As he responded to God, as he trusted God, he walked with God. So he knew God more than his contemporaries. And he enjoyed God more than his contemporaries. And ultimately he was taken to be with God. So his enjoyment of God increased again. So the reward of that faith which pleases God is more of God. Faith is essential. Faith is specific. Faith is rewarding. Three sentences to finish with. Enoch's faith had a beginning. There was a point when he didn't have faith. If you read in Genesis chapter 5 his stories, you'll see that it says, after the birth of his son Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. There was a point when he didn't know God and trust God. Something happened, possibly in the birth of his son, possibly that experience that happens to lots of parents. The wonder of new birth makes them think differently. Or possibly the inadequacy of parenting makes them look to God and say, I can't be anything to this boy except if you give me it. Something happened, though, we don't know what. But there was a point when faith began for him. And he began to walk with God, he began to please God, he began to trust God. Faith has a beginning. It must have a beginning. It's not there by nature. It's not there because the person next to us has it. We all sang a few minutes ago, you alone are my strength, my shield, to you alone my spirit yields. But it is the owning of those words that is the measure of faith and the sign of faith. Faith has a beginning. Because faith is essential, faith needs to be nurtured. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So more than anything else, we need to nurture our faith if we would please God. That's partly why we're doing this series on Hebrews 11. I don't want you this morning to go away for a moment thinking that Hebrews 11 is a museum of ancient examples of people who walked by faith. I want you to go thinking that Hebrews 11 is like an interactive experience, like the best exhibitions that we get to do, where you get to try something yourself. This isn't a book of ancient history. This is a book of people that we can walk alongside and learn from. And we need to, because faith is essential, more than polishing up our abilities, more than enlarging our capacities, we need to ensure our faith is nurtured. Our basic trust and response to God. And we do that in the company of others who are faithful. Faith isn't easy, you know. It's very easy to stop believing. Let me give you one story to finish with. I was at my uncle's funeral this week, and he was a bachelor, and there are six of us who are nephews and nieces. And if I say that I lived 80 miles away from he lived, and I'm the closest to him geographically, you'll understand that for the other five to be there, they had to make pretty huge efforts. And one of them came from the other side of the world to be at his funeral. And when he said, well, why did you make the effort to come? He said, well, if you believe in family, this is what it means. It means making the effort to be with them at sad things. If you believe in family, this is what it means. If you believe in God, this is what it means. It means, as we sang at the beginning, I will trust in you alone. It means not only believing, but ignoring. It means not only believing, but not loving. It means trusting and owning. It means trusting and loving. If you believe in God, this is what it means. Walking with, enjoying the company of. Faith is a beginning. Has it begun for you? Faith needs nurture. Are you nurturing it? Faith isn't easy, but it needs its place. Are you doing that? That's good. Oh God, we recognize from your word that nothing matters more in our lives than that we please you. And you have made it so simple for us to please you, that we trust you for who you are, and we respond to you in the way that you reveal yourself to us. Help us to please you by such faith. Grant us such faith that we might please you, and that in believing we might enjoy you as Enoch did, walking with you day by day. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.